The Bible. The Bible. The Bible. It's the Word of God, living and active.
It's sharper than any two-edged sword.
It contains all we need for life and godliness, and it reveals to us the mysteries of God. Join us for the next hour as we study the Bible and take your Bible questions. This is Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Two of the most important words you'll find in the New Testament is one another. Sometimes it will say love one another, care for one another, but that's what the New Testament really espouses, one another. And today on Exploring the Word, we're going to talk about how to treat one another, and when we treat one another the way we should, what might happen. This is Bert Harper along with Dr. Alex McFarland, and it's our joy to come to you each day, Monday through Friday at this time on Exploring the Word. And Alex, today it's a pre-recorded program because you and I are unable to be here for traveling, or sometimes it's family time that you and I take away.
Yeah.
And but we could not do it, so we do these pre-records, so there will not be questions at the end, but we will be studying the Word of God, so hope you can stay with us. Yeah. Alex, when you see one another in the Bible, those words are repeated quite often, aren't they?
They really are. They really are. And we're going to look at 1 Thessalonians 5 today. And if you've got your Bible, turn there. It's really rich. I've always loved 1 and 2 Thessalonians. Yeah. And what we're going to do with this passage is we're going to look at some of the final words, kind of a closing salutation that Paul's giving in his first letter to the church at Thessalonica. But I want to tie it to some of our churches today. And let me throw this question out. What are the qualities that make a church great? Now, if you're a pastor, or I hope a parishioner at least of a church, hope you're part of a local church, what makes a church great? And what makes a church healthy and strong and magnetic? And we're going to pull out of this salutation Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica some things, some characteristics or attributes that I think would make any church great.
I agree with you. And again, it's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and it's about the day of the Lord. But then at the end, it's instructions for living.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
And it kind of instructions for living. Why? Because the church should be involved in our lives.
Yes.
You know, the church is not excluded. Alex, I want to ask you, do you remember, and I always thought, I can't do what they're asking me to do. I'd come to church, and sometimes my pastor or a teacher would say, now, I want you to forget everything that's going on outside there and concentrate on worshiping today. I never could do that, but what I learned to do, I brought those issues to the Lord, and it clarified them better. If I left them alone and did not give some thoughts to it, how could I apply what I learned to the issues of the day?
Yeah.
No, I think you bring them to the Lord. That's what I do. I
yeah,
admit. Now, not
exactly.
Everybody's like me. My wife, Jan, has to remind me sometimes, Bert, you're not the standard. and I know that, and I realize that.
But you'd be a pretty good one.
No, I'm telling you. Let me just share this with you. This is what we're going to do today, is look at these things that we bring and one another helping us. Because verse 11, let me read that. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also were doing.
Yeah.
There it is, that two words that I'm talking about. And in a church that would be great, I guarantee you they care for one another, Alex.
Well, you know, when Paul interacted with the Christians at Thessalonica, a little bit he had to address some doctrinal issues. He talks a lot about the second coming of Christ. In fact, there's quite a bit about the return of Christ, and that is something to think about, too. Live this day mindful of that day, the day we're going to see the Lord. And he talks a lot about grace and peace. And, you know, we kind of see these themes in 1 and 2 Thessalonians, to increase brotherly love, to rejoice, to pray, and to give thanks, which is really spiritual health. Bert, I think that there's a lot in the words of Elmer Towns, E.L. Towns. I don't know if you know that name, folks, but he's a giant.
They've heard him quoted on this program quite a bit, though.
Yes, exactly. Now, think about this, and we're going to get into 1 Thessalonians 5 and begin at verse 11. Elmer Towns said, before there can be much church growth, there has to be church health. Now, in our culture today, and listen, I love America. I love the church. I mean, I love the church. I feel so privileged to have been in a whole lot of churches. Speaking about the state of church growth, Greg Laurie said, the issue is this, we've forgotten how to lead people to Jesus. So how serious is the issue of America's church health? And relate it to the fact that, to a large degree, we're not seeing much, if any, church growth.
It is really coming the day when a lot of the church growth, let me say it this way, is swapping sheep. In place of, you know, winning new people, they just swap out. They go somewhere bigger and better, or somewhere where they think they'll be, you know, accepted. And very little missional evangelism. I think there's several reasons. I'm not going to get into all of those. But I'm telling you, it doesn't matter the situation. We should be on mission and evangelistic, regardless of the situation we find ourselves in, Alex.
Exactly. And let me just say, folks, devoting time to prayer, and I mean praying with specifics, not just, Lord bless me as I fall asleep now. No, I mean to really do the work of prayer, and then to be intentional about talking with others about Christ. And I think you always need to maintain what I call your most wanted list. Have a list of 10 names that you are praying for their conversion by name, and to be serving and using your spiritual gifts. And listen, every last one of us, if you're a born-again believer, you have some spiritual gifts, some supernaturally imparted abilities that God gave you at the moment of salvation for the work of the ministry. Not only are you never going to really be a healthy Christian, but you're never going to be a completely fulfilled, happy Christian unless you've identified your spiritual giftedness and are using it for nothing but the glory of God and the good of His church.
And the best way to identify your spiritual giftedness is to serve.
To get involved.
Get involved. Try to keep the nursery. Try to check some of these people out and say, can I help you in the preschool? Can I help you with the children, the youth? Can I go with you on visitation? Can I go with you to the hospital? You know, serve to find out. I think that's better than taking a test. Now, that's just my opinion.
I know.
Jesus did not give these tests.
Spiritual gift inventory.
Guess what he did? He said, you guys, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. So the experience that they had with Jesus, they got to identify their strengths, their weaknesses, and then Jesus used them. And those are the men that, you know what it said about them? These who have turned the world upside down, they've come here also.
Do you know what this reminds me? And again, I'm not the standard. The Lord knows that. And I forgive me for referencing.
Again, I'm going to interrupt you. You're a pretty good standard.
Well,
I'll pay the compliment back, brother. You are.
I look back and I got saved and I really got involved at Macedonia Baptist Church, Liberty, North Carolina. The pastor there now, Pastor Eric Pace, wonderful brother. That church has been a part of my Christian walk now for 32 years. But I just started to get involved. And I never told you this, but one year I was on the finance committee. They asked me to be on the finance committee, and I was. But let me just say that was not my forte.
But you learned a lot, didn't you?
I learned a lot and served, and I fulfilled my term. But, you know, for me, sitting in a business meeting is about like getting a tetanus shot, okay? You know, taught Sunday school, and I was on the youth, and I was on the visitation, I was on the missions committee, and worked in the cafeteria. We did food and had dinners. I've cleaned the bathrooms at Macedonia Baptist Church. But I began to find out where my heartbeat was. You know what I mean?
That's right.
Jump in, start swimming, quote unquote, and God will lead you, and you'll discover where your spiritual
gifts
are.
And I'm telling you, again, using a song, it's a great adventure.
Yeah.
There's nothing like it in all the world to serve the greatest ministry, God, in all the world, in a local body of believers and sharing. Will they be hiccups? You better believe it. Chuck Colson said it well. There's no church and no denomination that's got it just right, and I know the reason. They're people.
Yeah, right.
And if you find the perfect church, Alex, I don't know about you, but I'm not going to join it. I would mess it up if it were perfect. So, no, you're not going to find a perfect group of people. But don't go discouraged. you know, stay in there, serve the Lord, serve the Lord with gladness.
And, you know, folks, as you sort of get out of your comfort zone and get in situations that will stretch you, you may discover something about yourself that you didn't even know you had. I never knew what in the world apologetics was, and then found this whole area of Christian ministry, defending the faith, and it was a life's work and ultimately a destiny. Now, I want to read this scripture. We're talking about from 1 Thessalonians 5, some things that would make any church great. You read verse 11, Bert. Paul said, "Therefore, comfort each other, edify one another, just as you also are doing. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all, see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit, despise not prophecies, test all things, hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil." Now, this is kind of a long grocery list he gives, but I think there's a lot of good stuff in here we can pull out, don't you?
It is. It is a list. Now, I've noticed this about Paul, and honestly, I can say that I had not noticed it as much until you and I started doing Exploring the Word. He's famous for his list.
Exactly.
He will go down list the things that he had suffered, the things he wanted them to do, the things that had happened to him here. He could have written the book of list.
That's
and,
right.
And that could have been another book.
Folks, in business, they talk about deliverables. You know, if you want to please your supervisor and keep your job, know what your measurable goals or deliverables are. Here's what I want. By Friday, I need A, B, C, D, E, F, G. All right, Paul is like that. And so much of the Christian life is like that, isn't it?
It is. And you already talked about one list, the 10 list, most wanted, people that you're praying for. Let me share that. When one of those gets saved, add to it.
Yes.
Don't go down to 9, add to it. And if you're a Christian, you know what you have to do usually? You have to get out of your comfort zone to know those 10 people. That's the reason I've met some pastors, and they'll join a civic club, and they'll go to lunch once a week or once every month. So they will rub shoulders with those folks that they know are without Christ. So you got to do it purposefully to do that.
It's interesting in 1 Thessalonians how in verse 1 of chapter 1, he uses a Greek word and a Hebrew word, grace and peace.
Amen.
Grace and peace.
Two words.
Now, when we come back, we're going to talk more about how this grace and peace flows out into 36 other wonderful virtues.
You're listening to Exploring the Word. Alex and Bert with you. And we're going through the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 11 through 22. And it'll be a blessing to you, and it might help your church. If we've learned anything from this election, it's how important it is for us to fight, fight, fight. We also learned how desperately the left wants to fight to take babies' lives, which is why every day Preborn Ministries fights for the babies. Preborn's network of clinics are positioned in the highest abortion areas, fighting for mothers deciding between the life and death of their child. Preborn welcomes these women with God's love and offers them a free ultrasound to introduce their precious baby and hear the beautiful heartbeat. This amazing encounter gives her baby a fighting chance, and the majority of the time, she'll choose life. Would you join Preborn in the fight for life? One ultrasound is just $28, and $140 will sponsor 5 ultrasounds. Babies are worth fighting for. To donate, dial #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. All gifts are tax deductible, and Preborn has 4-star charity ratings. Fight, fight, fight for the babies.
This is Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Everybody here looking for a Bible in our own hearts and across the land. Everybody looking for a revival. Lift up your voice and say amen.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Alex McFarland, Bert Harper, the American Family Radio Network. I do want to mention you can like us on social media like Facebook. We surely would appreciate that. You can also email us, and we love to hear from you if you've got a Bible question or a prayer request. We hear from a lot of listeners, and it really does mean a lot to us. And you can reach us that way by word@afr.net, W-O-R-D, word@afr.net. They can also talk to us about if you wanted us to come to your city. Bert and Jan do a lot of things around the country, and I travel and preach. Every now and then, Bert and I, we wind up in the same pulpit together.
Those were exciting days when that happened.
I really love it. We were in Oklahoma City last spring, and great church out
there.
We've
been in Richmond, Virginia. We've been in Warner Robins, Georgia. We've been in Oklahoma City.
Yep. And did the fishbowl here.
Fishbowl here. Yeah, we've done some things, and they're effective.
They are.
And we'd love to do that.
We would. So if you want to do an explore, we forgot the biggest one of all, Fayetteville, North Carolina.
Yeah, man.
3,000 people came out for a prayer rally.
Sorry, but I can't believe I didn't remember that.
Hey, this was, before the election in 2016. Okay, think about this, folks. With 4 weeks' notice, we planned this prayer rally, and I guess that shows that, number one, the power of the good Lord, but number two, when there's a radio station in the town where you are, we had 3,000 people come out to pray.
That was an exciting night. I can't believe I did not mention that.
Hey, you were on that night, man.
Well, I'm telling you, Alex, he revs me up, and I don't need a lot of revving, but I do, and I appreciate it. But we would love to come.
Yeah, if you're interested in doing an event, just email us at word@afr.net. Let me give a little illustration. Before the break, we're talking about 1 Thessalonians 5, the things that make a church great. And Paul uses grace and peace, and there's so much in his writings about encouragement. And I read this illustration. There was an author named Barbara Glanz, and she talks about a business owner who was thinking about how his teacher had influenced his life so much. And so he wrote a letter to his 8th grade literature teacher, and he thanked her for investing in his life. And he got this reply back, quote, "You'll never know how much your letter meant. I'm 83 now and living alone. My friends and family are all gone. I taught school for 50 years, and yours is the first thank you letter I've ever gotten from a student. Sometimes I wonder what I did with my life. I will read and reread your letter till the day I die." End of quote. And so the author talks about the fact that this teacher was very fondly remembered and was talked about more than any other teacher at the high school reunions, but nobody had ever told her. And friend, the power of encouragement, and Paul is encouraging the Thessalonican Christians to edify and love and grace, peace, encourage one another. We're going to get into this. But Bert, isn't it just incredibly powerful when we decide to be more sugar than vinegar? I mean, if we try to be, more sunshine than darkness, people thrive on it.
Yeah.
And people need it.
I heard someone say this way, you'll see people following a fire truck, you see very few folks following an ice truck.
Mm.
And it may get so hot they want to. But in other words, what that is talking about, there should be some, enthusiasm is easy for some of us.
Yeah.
I played basketball, and I love the energy went up when I went into the game just because of my, I guess, my personality and who I am. But there is something about this business of watching someone enthusiastic. And here I think Paul writes these things to a group of people who should be enthusiastic about serving the Lord and bring an enthusiasm, because it talks about it in such a way, I can't help but believe he wants to be enthusiastic. Like, I'm getting ahead of it, but I did want to point one up. Do not quench the spirit. I mean, be enthusiastic about hearing God's word and following it.
Amen.
So that's what I want to introduce that as we start going over the list of things he suggests, and I would say even commands. Some of these are commands. Some of them are suggestions. Some of them are commands. Every one of them important to carry out for a church to be what they should be.
Well, he says encourage, to be an encourager. Do you know what I have found? And I know most of us are not naturally this way. It's something you have to cultivate. But if you encourage others, you yourself feel encouraged. If you put on a smile inside, you're probably going to feel a little peppier and a little happier. And isn't it a blessing that these things, and these would be so key to any church, if you, as you give these out, you get them back.
Encouragement is such a great thing for you to be a part of. If you do not have it naturally, cultivate it. Encourage those that are teaching you, those that you have admired. There's some people that they have changed my life because of their encouragement, Alex.
Amen.
They have at a weak point or a difficult time for somebody to give a word of encouragement. And today with texting, with emailing, Facebook, it's possible to do that. Those that are on Facebook, I get so tired of those that lambast everything that goes on. But if somebody comes on, they give an encouragement. I kind of gravitate to that, if you want to know the truth.
Amen.
It encourages me.
Well, it does. Now, the first, we're going to go over some things that we are to do outwardly that would make any church great. I mean, they really would. I'll give the list, but I want to camp out on a couple. Encourage, build up, respect the pastor, verse 12. Esteem your leaders in love, verse 13. Be at peace among yourselves. Admonish the idle. Encourage the faint-hearted. That's verse 14. Help the weak. Be patient with all. Don't repay evil for evil. Seek to do good, verse 15. Okay, so Paul's got a list. I'm just going to tell you, there's 11 things here. I mean, if you break down the wording and the phraseology, Paul has given us a list of 11 things.
That can be observed, really, by others you doing, right?
Because we're supposed to be outwardly doing these things.
So when I show respect to my pastor, I'm doing two things. I'm doing what I should do, but I'm also setting an example for those that are watching me.
Yeah.
Do that.
Right.
And it's observed. That's the whole thing. That's what you said outwardly. I just want to make sure they get this word. They're observable for you to see, but they're also observable for others to see in you.
Amen. Amen. Let's talk about build up. In verse 11 there, he says, build up or sometimes edify one another. What do you think of when you hear that word for a person or a movement or a business or a house to be built up?
I'm going to do an Alex McFarland. Let me say what it is not saying.
Okay. All right.
You're right. You know what? Yeah. It's not tearing them down.
Right.
In the book of Proverbs, it talks about the woman with her hands and she tears down her own house. So what you're doing when you are complaining and when you are destructive, you're tearing down that has built you up. We've talked about that in America, that all this freedoms that we have, and people want to take away the freedom of religion, they are tearing down what has built it up. In other words, when I edify someone, it means that I encourage them, I build them up to the point of growth. It's more like a building, Alex. You start with a foundation, you got to get the walls. You got to get those rafters. You don't start. You do it in an edification way. It's not haphazard.
That's right. It is
very orderly. The Bible says, do all things in decency and in order. And on edification, you do start there. You start with the fundamentals. You really do. You don't start out, I hear people, okay, I'm saved. I'm ready to read the book of Revelation. Read the book of Daniel. I'd start out with the book of John.
Yeah,
read
exactly.
1 John. I'd go to the book of the Philippians gospel, the letter to the Philippians, you know, start out, get your foundation laid pretty strongly.
Exactly. Being built up. And then I'm going to talk about 3 and 4, respect the pastor, esteem the leaders in love. Now this is in verses 12 and 13. I realize it might sound a little self-serving for two preachers to be talking about the good treatment of a preacher. But this is in the Word of God, and let's talk about respecting the pastor in verse 12. The King James says, we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you. And the word know there in the King James is really to respect, to honor. It means recognize or appreciate those toiling among you.
You know, I pastored for many years, and I want to say one to two things, and I'm not going to dwell on it. Respect of the pastor is, I would say, starting with praying for him and word of encouragement. Those two things go together. Whom I pray for, I usually wind up encouraging.
Oh, them. Of course.
And to know people are praying for their pastor. The other thing, don't do stuff behind the back. That is very disrespectful. And I know this is powerful and it's kind of negative, Alex, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. Don't operate behind the pastor's back and the leadership back. Yeah. Go to them up front when you have an issue. Go to them in love. And you better do it early. If you don't do it early, guess what's going to happen? You'll turn it over and turn over in it. It'll work up into bitterness and anger.
Yeah.
And then when you approach them, you approach them in anger. And if you carry another person with you, you don't have to tell them what they're going for, so they'll have the case. You go with them and say, I need to talk with you, and I'd love for you to go with me.
Sure.
And don't go out and just stir up the trouble. That is causing discord among the brethren.
And let me say this. To talk behind somebody's back, let's say you've got a pastor or a Sunday school teacher or a deacon or somebody in leadership or a choir director, and they've rubbed you the wrong way, or for some reason you're sideways with this person. So you hit the rumor mill. That's cowardly.
It is.
I mean, number one, to gossip and talk about and backstab somebody, backbite, that is cowardly, and it's not reconciliatory. I mean, if you really have an issue, you need to go to somebody, go gently, go in love, be specific. Now, let me just say this. The question is, are you really trying to get things straight, or are you just trying to stir the pot? Because let's say that, somebody, did a tangible thing. You go to him, you say, hey, friend, can we talk? You were supposed to meet me for this committee meeting, and three times you didn't show up. And that really, that's not helping. And I need, for one thing, I think you owe me an apology. And somebody goes, okay, I'm sorry. Give me a chance to make it right. That's trying to work things out. But if you go, well, you've hurt me, and I just can't talk about it. Listen, that's not helping anything. So don't talk about your pastor. Don't backstab the leaders God has given you. I would say this, and they estimate 100 million Christians in America, maybe 130 million. 1 Thessalonians 5, 11 and 12 are probably the most broken commandments in all of the New Testament. It's not drinking or adultery, although I'm sure that goes on. But look, not loving, not appreciating, not edifying and holding up those leaders God has given you. Now listen to this. In verse 12 it says, we beseech you, brethren. Paul says, I'm begging you to recognize or know them which labor among you, who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. Now think about this. To thank God for and appreciate and encourage those that by God's design, they are over you. Friend, you might not like your pastor, but in the sovereignty of God, he's your pastor. But he admonishes you. Now, this is going to take the test of the Holy Spirit to love and pray for and encourage the one who in his preaching steps on your toes.
That's the truth. I pastored full time for, many years. And the last few years I've been interim pastor. A church, it doesn't have a full-time pastor. I go and I preach. And some of the time I'm not preaching and I get to go and worship at a church. And I sit there and I praise the Lord when that pastor speaks and admonishes attitudes or actions in my life. A lot of times what people do, Alex, they only want to look at actions, but your attitudes that's sinful too. You remember what Jesus said? If you've committed adultery in your heart, you've committed adultery.
Yeah.
Now, it's not as bad as it taking fruit and doing it, but it's still sin. So I pray, I thank God that I've sat under pastors that have admonished me and through the Holy Spirit corrected some attitudes and actions in my life.
Exactly. And let me just say this, folks, where it says in verse 13, to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. It means to cast a vote for. The Greek there, esteem them in love, means to reckon in favor of, heavily, emphatically. I'm on your team, Pastor. Now, you might be saying, yeah, but the pastor we've got did this and it was bad. Pastor, I don't respect him. I don't like him, whatever. Okay, if you can't worship, then go find a church where you can.
Amen. That's right.
You know, I'll say this in the last self-referential illustration all day.
We are spending time on this, but it's needed. If we don't say it, who's going to? So go ahead.
The church where I came to Christ, a good church, but I had been a Christian 2 or 3 years, and several of them decided they were going to get a new preacher, and they ran off the preacher, and it was ugly, and it was messy. I made a decision. I would never, ever, ever, never, ever be a part of that.
Good decision, and I agree, and I'm standing with you. May our tribe increase on that, Alex.
This is Exploring the Word. We're talking about 1 Thessalonians 5, the characteristics that can make a church and a Christian great. Stay tuned. We're going to come back after this with more on Exploring the Word.
This Sanctity of Life Month, we honor the over 66 million babies whose lives have been tragically ended through abortion since Roe. Sadly, with the abortion pill accounting for over 60% of all abortions, babies' lives are at even greater risk now. But in the midst of this darkness, there's a light that shines, and that's Preborn. Preborn's network of clinics have rescued over 300,000 babies from abortion and have prayed with over 80,000 women to come to Christ.
When I heard her heartbeat, I decided to keep her. And now my daughter's about to be 3. I don't know where my life would be without her.
An ultrasound doubles a baby's chance at life. This is Bert Harper, asking you to join Preborn in protecting life. One ultrasound session costs $28, and $140 will sponsor 5 ultrasounds. Any gift will help, $100, $200, $1,000. To donate securely, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Connect with Alex and Bert on the Exploring the Word Facebook page, facebook.com/Exploring the Word.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Alex McFarland, Bert Harper. We're talking about good, positive, healthy, uplifting characteristics in a church. And Paul's got a long list here in 1 Thessalonians 5. Some of the things happen outwardly, visibly. Some of the things have to happen inwardly as God works in your heart. Be at peace among yourselves. Admonish the idle. Encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with all, don't repay evil for evil, and seek to do good. Bert, you know, I read these things, and I got to tell you, when I read Paul's list, I just feel better thinking about these things, don't you?
Lord, may I have this in my life. You know, he's talking about a church practicing. If a church practices it, that means the members got to practice it.
Yeah.
So this list is a list that I need to look at for my own benefit. To see, okay, Bert, how are you stacking up, brother?
That's called the law of composition.
It is.
The parts make up the whole.
I've got to say, be at peace among yourselves.
Yeah.
You was talking about the last segment about a church that you were a part of and some people wanted to run off their pastor. nothing brings up on more discord than that. You can't be at peace with one another when you do that.
Yeah.
And it's sometimes, like you said, it's better to move on than trying to move within. Yeah. I agree. But be at peace among yourselves. You know, the Bible says live peaceably with all men as much as possible.
Yeah.
And those that you can't get along with, put some distance between you and them if you have to.
Well, it says also admonish the idle. And to admonish, the wording means to exert positive pressure on. I was in a church not too long ago, and a man was telling me he had just finished about 30 years of being an adult Sunday school teacher. And I said, that's just wonderful. And he's getting older and he can't do it now because of some health issues. He said, 30 some years ago, there was a woman on the nominating committee and she pestered me and pestered me. And she kept asking if I would teach. And he said, I'd never done that. I was in the business world. And he said, it just almost made me ill. But finally, to get her off my back, I agreed to teach for a semester. He said, I found out that God had called me to be a Sunday school teacher. I did it for 30 years as a businessman. But sometimes we have to just lovingly but gently nudge people out into the game.
Amen. That is neat. She saw something in him that he did not even know he had.
Isn't that something?
That is great. And that's so true. People can see. I remember when I surrendered to preach, I had people come up to me and say, well, I was wondering when you were going to do it. That's the last thing on my mind, Alex.
Yeah.
But sometimes the encouragement, admonishment from others is good for you.
Well, and he says in verse 14, help the weak. Now, some translations say comfort the feeble-minded. You know, we humans, we're cognitive, we're emotive. I mean, we think, we feel. There are a lot of people that, you know, we have different things. There are a lot of people that they just worry. They're worriers, and we have to comfort them.
They worry about not having anything to worry about.
That's right.
I mean, that's an exaggeration, but they are. And so we do need to comfort them, and we need to help them along the way. And sometimes we need to challenge them and say, now listen, you know, you're imagining things that, you know,
yeah.
10 of those issues that you're looking at, 9 of them will hit the ditch before they hit you.
Oh, yeah.
So,
wow.
Yeah. So Good. So go forward in Christ.
It says, be patient with all. Don't repay evil for evil. Seek to do good. See, a church is like a family.
Amen.
And in a way, I really think, you know, there's three things in life that really are a marriage. One is marriage. It's a marriage. But your employment and your church involvement is very much like a marriage.
Yeah.
And, you know, you got to live together and you do it in peace. Friend, as you seek to be a person of joy and love and grace, and you are encouraging and you're uniting people, not dividing people, look, you're only helping yourself as you spread the good.
Amen. That's the reason that passage about be at peace among yourselves is so important.
Yeah.
And you use the word, you know, marriage like a church. Because when that happens and that relationship is broken, it nearly feels, or it feels like a divorce.
Oh yeah.
And what you do, you seek to do good. When you can do good, when you can put a stop to something that is wrong, an idle word, a rumor, put a stop to it as best you can. Doing good.
Let me say this. They say in the corporate world, if you're fired, that it lingers with you for 7 years.
Yeah.
People think about it. But I will tell you, disengagement from a church lasts for decades.
It does.
I have been in so many communities, and I know you have too. You pastored here in Mississippi. You've been a leader. I mean, I'm not trying to, you know, flatter you. You just are. You're a major Christian leader in this state and beyond. And I will tell you, when things go bad with a church, the body count kind of exists for decades, doesn't it?
It does. And I just say it's probably not worth it. Be a peacemaker. There's three things you want to do, and you do them quietly as you can. The issue of immorality, you know, you got to deal with it and deal with it quickly, okay? You've got to deal with erroneous teaching. I'm talking about severe doctrinal error. salvation messed up, Jesus, you're warped on that. That needs to be dealt with quickly. And then the issue of misusing finances, those need to be dealt with quickly.
Yeah.
Most other things, Alex, can be worked out.
Yeah.
If they can't be worked out, they can be worked out to a time where somebody doesn't suffer the consequences of being, quote, let go, yeah, and it's staying with them for decades.
Yeah.
I think churches need to think of that deeply. And I think God's using this program to deal with that. And if you're listening to that and you have the opportunity to stop those things and work it out for good, that's what it is. It says what? Seek to do good.
Seek to do good. All right, there's eight things that we're to do inwardly. Rejoice, pray constantly, give thanks, don't quench the spirit. Verse 20, despise not prophesying. In other words, we're to hear the word of God proclaimed. Discern, verse 21, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. To prove all things means to test or to validate. The word literally means to validate. So whether it's a teaching or whether it's a program to get on board with, use discernment. Hold fast that which is good, abstain from evil.
Look what it started with, though. Rejoice.
Be grateful.
I'm telling you, I found out this in my life, and I want you to comment on it. The quickest way for me to lose my joy, the quickest way for me to be in the flesh and not a part of what God's up to, is to become a person that does not rejoice, that complains and is... I don't know of anything that God appreciates more than a thankful spirit, Alex. I just want to tell you, be thankful. And, when we're recording this, it's cold outside, even here in Northeast Mississippi, single-digit numbers this morning. And I got up and I said, man, it's cold. I was kind of complaining. And I found out it was minus 20 degrees up in the South Dakota, North Dakota area. And all of a sudden, I became thankful.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's a wimpy way to express it.
Yeah.
But rejoice.
You know, there's a guy, he's a war hero, Sergeant Johnny Joey Jones. I don't know anything about his spiritual condition, but he's a war hero. He lost both legs fighting for America. And somebody said this in an interview, and he gave this response, quote, "People ask me how I can stay so positive after losing both my legs. I simply ask, how can they stay so negative with both of their legs?"
Amen.
I mean, rejoice. You've got so much to be thankful for. And if you want to be able to cultivate these outward things that we build up one another, we're patient, we show grace, peace, we're lifting each other up. Okay, here are the places it starts.
Starts in your heart, doesn't it? Amen.
Cultivate a grateful spirit. Rejoice, says verse 16. Be constant in prayer. Pray without ceasing, verse 17.
You know, I've heard that. It's like, do you pray all the time? Well, you stay in an attitude of prayer, but I think it's more than just an attitude. Someone said it's like having a nagging cough that you can't get rid of. You just cough and you cough. Praying should be like that on the positive side. You just constantly praying. Here you are, you go in to do something, you say, Lord, help me do this. Lord, thank you for this. Stay in a constant mode, but let it be continual, Alex.
Yes.
And it really does pay off. It's that communion with God that he's communing with you as well.
Amen. And we're to give thanks. And again, verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. People often ask, how may I be in God's will? Well, you can start by being thankful because it says this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I know that you have probably heard that old poem where the guy says he was on a bus and he saw somebody with crutches. Forgive me, Lord, when I whine, for I've got both legs and the world is mine. Forgive me, Lord, when I whine, I have two eyes and the world is mine. We have so much to be thankful for. I mean, we really do. Let's talk a little bit about 19 and 20 and 21. Don't quench the spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things. Okay. Isn't there a lot of correlation between following the spirit, hearing the word and obeying the word.
Amen. They are a trilogy there. I believe the quenching of the spirit is do not put the spirit out.
Yeah.
If you quench your thirst or you quench a fire, you know, but don't quench the spirit. In order to not quench the spirit, Alex, guess what you have to do? You have to feed the spirit.
Amen.
You know, you have to feed the spirit. Now, how do you feed the spirit? I think it's told us right above this before it got here. Rejoice, praying constantly, and giving thanks. Guess what those do? Those feed the spirit of God. The word of God being taken in, because it's going to talk about, you know, hear the prophecies. The more of the prophecies you hear is the word of God.
Yeah.
You know, that, people will speak a word of prophecy, but more importantly is the prophecies that's already been given in the word of God. So guess what I do? When I feed the spirit will be free to move in and through me.
Yeah.
But if I quench it, that means I'm cutting off those things that would feed the spirit. Critical spirit, every one of these. I just can't tell you that. Every one of these things, even those that are outwardly, if you're not careful, they will quench the spirit in your life if you don't.
And in your church.
Yes, they will. I've seen it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And, you know, Paul, he's kind of the master of positivity. I mean, really, because he knew the power of being positive, being united, being one, being an encourager. In Romans 1, verse 9, Paul said, I make mention of you always in my prayers. In Ephesians 1, 15 and 16, Paul wrote, I did not cease to give thanks for you. And in Philippians chapter 1, this is a little bit lengthy, but it relates to all of these virtues, these positive, uplifting characteristics. Paul, remember, he's writing to the church at Philippi. He said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Every time you come to mind.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Always in prayer, I make request for you with all joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day till now, being confident of this very thing. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it to the day of Jesus Christ. Paul was a guy who knew the power of an encouraging word.
Amen. And he passed it on. And he would do that. They had encouraged him. There's no better book in the Bible to get encouragement from than the book of Philippians.
Yeah.
They had encouraged him. He would later, nobody has communicated with me like you have in the gospel.
Yeah.
In other words, they sent him money when he was in jail and when he was in a nice place to stay. They did not stop. And he now was encouraging them. They feed upon each other. This verse 21, I'd make sure one will have time for it.
Yes.
You know, test all things, hold fast what is good. Discernment. I found this out. There are some people that seem to have a spiritual gift or spiritual radar with discernment. I've observed it. I've seen it. Those of us that don't, have I classified which group I'm in? I found out the more time I spend in the Word of God with a thankful spirit, I'll have better discernment.
Yeah.
I don't think you'll have discernment apart from the Word of God being a part of your life in a major way.
Now, let me tell you one of the reasons that we need the body, because I've known people that had extremely good theological discernment, but very poor discernment of people.
Right.
On the other hand, I've known people that were really, really good with relationships, but they didn't always have the keenest aptitude for false teaching. All right, I know a guy, Bert, and he is one of the preeminent theologians in this country. This man is a theological genius, and he has hired some of the sorriest people in his organization because he's great theologically, but he needs a little help when it comes to vetting out people. We need each other. And it says, hold that which is good, discern, but then abstain from evil. No, we're positively. Embrace that which is good, negatively avoid, abstain from that which is evil. Tall grocery list, only Amen. The Holy Spirit of God can help us embody these things, but for His glory and with His help, we can.
And it starts with me. I need to develop these in my life and let it kind of be like the ripple in the pond in your church. as it continues and grows so that this church could have these characteristics that will help it grow and fulfill God's mission in this world.
You've been listening to Exploring the Word. This is Bert Harper and Alex McFarland on the American Family Radio Network. Tell everybody about Jesus. Take somebody to church. Bring somebody under the sound of the gospel and God's word this week, and He'll help you do it.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.